Government Reform Commission at 6:15. And why don't we do a quick roll call? We'll start down there. We'll start with you, Tanya. Let's do that.
Thank you. Tanya Matthews at large.
Bill Soltes at large.
Tom Julia at large.
Dom Walker Katakin.
Woody Turner Sterling.
Bob Gordon Leesburg.
Michael Lindsay Dulles.
Okay, and we'll acknowledge that we do have a quorum this evening, and Eileen and Tim are here with us as well. Let me ask, I know no one has signed up for public comment, but is there anybody here who would like to make any comments this evening to the commission? Nope. Okay, thanks for being here. Let's go ahead and move to the summary of our meeting on January 29th, which was distributed to you, I believe, this morning. Some of you may have seen it earlier, but I would ask, if you haven't had a chance to look at it, please do so, and then I would entertain a motion to approve as drafted. Now, without Keith Cliff here, who usually finds something, right? There's a period or a comma that, so I'm going to cross my fingers and hope we got this one right. Okay.
I knew that I missed the meeting, so.
I move approval.
Second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
It is approved as drafted. Thank you. Let's move to Subcommittee 2 matters. We want to talk about where we stand with fire rescue. I'm going to ask Bob Gordon to report out on that based on the Subcommittee meeting earlier this month. We have a couple of issues there. Bob, I'm going to let you take the lead on that. I'm hoping we can actually take action on one or two items this evening. And then secondly, we're going to cover an update on the Inspector General discussions, and Bill is going to address that. So, Bob, why don't you start it off?
I think that most of everyone here, which I think you were not at our Subcommittee 2 meeting, you were sick, and I think you came late after our discussion of fire and rescue funding, so that, and I think, Don, you were there for the discussion, weren't you, at our last Subcommittee meeting. I mean, we had what I can only characterize as another wide-ranging discussion of the possible methodologies of funding the various fire and rescue companies, and I would have to say I don't think, in my opinion, that it resulted in any clarity that we could recommend an approach that would get down to specific dollars going to each company. We all are aware that there is an enhancement, is probably the right term, of approximately $500,000 for funding the various fire and rescue companies. That's in the recommended 2014 budget, and there is some money, maybe a couple $100,000, that is apparently available for reallocation as a result of the termination of the Nearsville Charter and the release of those funds from escrow over and above the $150,000 that the county is committing for the former station up there when it is available to be renovated. So there's maybe $700,000 of money to be reallocated to the companies, but how it gets reallocated and to whom remains a challenge. We, after extensive discussion and after hearing from quite a bit of input from, I guess there were probably representatives of at least a half a dozen different companies. I know Leesburg, Percival, Sterling, Round Hill for sure. I don't think anybody from
2013.
Yeah. But we had a lot of input from people, and I think the idea is that nobody's going to get less money. That's not going to have a lot of support. But how you allocate the additional funds among the companies, what we ended up deciding was that we would, for want of clarity on our part, we would reach out to the various, presidents or chiefs of the volunteer companies and solicit ideas from them, and as we were discussing just before the meeting, I mean, one approach is to take a look at their 990s for last year and see who was showing loss. one approach, which was advocated, I think it's for the, some of the smaller companies, the woman from Round Hill was strong on this, allocated equally, because that's going to, you know, an equal allocation is better for the smaller companies than for Leesburg, Percival, Sterling, for example, or make some other suggestion. And Woody and I are scheduled to go to the Fire and Rescue Commission next week. I think it's Monday, was it, Woody?
I think it's the meeting of the chiefs or the presidents.
Yeah, meeting of the chiefs and presidents. And what we want to do is, and we're going to be drafting a letter, and I think we'll take the letter to the meeting and solicit people's thoughts at the meeting and give them, you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks to weigh in. And I, frankly, that result to me is a little disappointing because I'd like to think we've come up with some recommendation. We're all smart people and we got a lot of input, but it's very complex situation and all the algorithms that people have been using are very complex and how to be fair to everyone is, it's a real challenge. That's my report.
A couple of comments and questions. It strikes me we have two issues on the table for us. One, the overall funding to the volunteer companies and a review of that algorithm. And I think I'm sensing that none of us want to try to propose a new algorithm. However, we can certainly propose a means for having that addressed. My sense is that given where the Board of Supervisors appears to be going on some of these matters, that this ought to reside with the county administrator to identify a team to make that recommendation. Number two is the new monies, the $500,000 in this budget, this upcoming budget, as well as the balance of the escrow money. Now, the balance of the escrow money has already been, the board has already acted to ask the commission, the Fire and Rescue Commission, to allocate that money. It strikes me that whatever is done with the $500 ought to be done the same with that $200, so we ought to unify that. And if indeed we're going to ask the Fire and Rescue Commission ultimately to divide that money up, presumably it would be done the same way. I would hate to see the money divided up different ways. It's not that much money. There ought to be some consistency to that $700 or $1,000. To the point of the letter, that is exactly the proposal that did come out. I think that's a very good proposal to reach out to the companies. I didn't know where we were just talking before the meeting. I don't know where that letter stood. We really want to get moving on that. So I would propose that, yes, you carry that letter to the meeting. I would like to see if we could see a draft of that before that, and just at least, I know Scott's out of the country, but I'd like to take a look at what that draft is. I'd like Tim to take a look at it as well. If everyone's in agreement with that as a concept, the idea would be, just to reiterate it, equal shares, some formulation of quote-unquote need, and then open-ended, a third option. Do you have any other ideas of how it ought to be, that money ought to be divided up? With the idea that it would be the new monies plus the escrowed money. So Tim, if I may ask you a question, your understanding is the same as mine, that that money has already been referred back to the commission, but if the commission would agree to bundle those funds together, would that be an unreasonable request of us?
I don't think that's unreasonable. There's a difference in the two funds, though. The escrow amount is appropriated, and that's been sent to the commission for disbursement. The other $500,000 I've recommended in the proposed budget, but that the board has not voted on that yet.
Right. So it's not really available yet.
It's not available yet, right. Correct. But if it were to become available,
it'll be available July 1 is when it would be available.
But would it? But it's not necessarily going to be assigned to the commission to determine how that $500,000. It's really at this point, we would like to opine on where that money's going to go.
Yeah, absent a different direction from the board, traditionally that is, those are contributions to the system.
I'll call you later. Yeah.
And so that is given. The current process is to give that to the commission and for the commission to distribute.
So, in just thinking out loud here. Were we to come back in several weeks, or were we to put the commission on notice that we have a desire to make a recommendation? Fire and Rescue Commission. On notice that we have a desire to make a recommendation on the allocation of both the balance of the escrow and these new monies, if appropriated. and that we are going through this process of soliciting input. They could, of course, say, well, they could solicit input. I think we agreed that as a government reform commission, we wanted to initially solicit input here for ourselves, ensure that every single company has the opportunity to bring back their point of view to the table. I'm just, again, thinking out loud of process, Bob, that and Woody, that we would then go to this. Is it a chief's meeting? I'm not clear what this is. It's not a fire and rescue
meeting. It's a meeting of all chiefs, I guess.
It's actually a president's meeting.
Yes.
Okay. Could we presume that everybody would be there, or certainly everybody's invited to be there?
Everybody's invited to be there, and I know they've had to change venues because of the number of people that have RSVP'd.
Okay. That's an excellent venue to do that. It would be, I think, ideal if this commission is in agreement that the two of you make, hopefully have a little bit of time on the agenda, can make a brief pitch for what we're trying to do here. What I would like to do is get the commission itself to agree to this approach. I would hate to see us go through these actions and the commission decide we're going to allocate the money anyway we want to allocate.
Who, the Fire and Rescue?
Fire and Rescue Commission. So I'd almost like them to get them to agree that if the board appropriates new money, plus the money the board has already assigned back to them, they would agree to at least hear our recommendation. Because our recommendation is first and foremost going to go to the Board of Supervisors.
I guess my reaction to what you're saying is when you talk about the first point, you're really talking, at least as I heard it, about longer-term recommendations for how funds should be allocated and financial support provided to the various fire and rescue companies. What we've been talking about is after we made our initial recommendation in December, guys got back to us, primarily O'Brien and others from Percival, saying, you know, we really would appreciate some help this year, you know, for a long-term planning. You know, we got serious financial issues now, and some of the other companies do also. So could you please make a recommendation for if only some stopgap or interim approach for how this might be done, you know, for this coming fiscal year? And that's what we've been endeavoring to do. We are not dealing with the long term. We've been trying to see if there was something we could come up with that said, okay, what happens this year? And that's how we got into this $500,000 that has been recommended and the escrow funds. I mean, and we've had difficulty in doing that because of the complexity of the situation. If, in my opinion, if the Fire and Rescue Commission has a good idea of how to allocate it, I mean, I don't want to be saying, well, we prefer to make our recommendation rather than you make your recommendation. I mean, we were asked to come up with something as a stopgap measure. So, I mean, if they have a strong feeling that they want to allocate it, personally, I'm okay with that. I guess my impression of the Fire and Rescue Commission is that lacking paid staff and comprised of volunteers, they don't have they have a lot of expertise in the system, of course, but not necessarily on coming up with a quick algorithm that's going to solve the problem for this coming year.
Well, let me just interject here. In addition to the members of the various fire and rescue companies who were here, the chief was here, and
Chief Brower
was here, and the chairman of the Fire and Rescue Commission was here, very much engaged in the discussion. And I think you're right. We don't want to step on their toes, and we don't want to do something that they're not in sync with us about. So I think we need to make sure that by checking with them that we're not heading in a direction they don't want us to go. That would be my first thought. The second one is that indeed our charge is to look at the long term. And because of events that occurred and requests that were made, we are now looking at the fairly short term, which as Tim indicated last meeting, we don't really need to have that answer until sometime in May, so we have some time to look at that and study it as well. So that's my understanding of what our charge is and what our subcommittee is doing.
I would be comfortable if our commission made, if I could separate the two questions again, on the, we'll call it the short term, the escrowed money plus the money that's going to be appropriated for FY14. If we made a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors that these monies be portion of these monies be decided by the commission. And if we're in a position after this feedback to say, look, there's a very strong preference from the companies to go this way versus that way, I think we can express that.
Right.
I'll say I'm relatively comfortable with us saying to the Board of Supervisors that the Fire and Rescue Commission should do this. I'm not comfortable at all with us saying that the Fire and Rescue Commission should read the algorithm in its entirety. I think that's highly, right, highly controversial. And it's almost asking, it's asking you're being asked to fix your own issue here. I think they absolutely need to have an advisory role in all of this. But I think this is where, in my view, the county administrator ought to be asked, much as we had on the previous issue of the reconfiguration of the commission itself. It's that kind of an overarching issue, where it strikes me that, Tim, that you ought to be with a team which includes, if you recall, the discussion of who the stakeholders are going to be in that. We had that previous discussion over the composition of the commission itself. It strikes me that's the same kind of issue. It's a macro issue that it ought to be the county administrator's lead with input from the commission, as opposed to the commission itself deciding its own algorithm. Because then we're back to the same issue again.
Yeah, I think the idea is that we don't have the talent or the expertise to do it, but we do have some fresh ideas that would perhaps set up the process get to where they need to go, which would, as we did with the other recommendations, the recommendation could very well be that the county administrator appoint a select committee to study it further. But I think we can generate some discussion and some focus and simplify the issues that are out there. Right now, you talk about it, and there's 40 different ideas and 40 different ways to do it, and none of them seem to have a lot of consensus one way or the other. So I think our job is to focus, simplify, and come up with a recommendation about how the decision should be made and what procedures might follow. But doing the actual work, I think, is beyond our capability. Do you agree with what I just said, sir?
I'd like to hear from anybody else around the table here. So what I'm hearing, and I would concur with you, is we should perhaps pose the questions that need to be asked, the considerations, the extent that we know them, and then recommend to the Board of Supervisors that, much as was recommended on the reformulation commission itself, we asked the county administrator to take the lead and develop a group of stakeholders to do that. So our recommendation is really a process recommendation. We're not saying, here's how you redo the algorithm, but we're saying, here's the process for doing so. And I personally think that works very much in sync with the county administrator taking a look at the overall commission itself with a team. I mean, you haven't started, I assume you haven't started doing any of that. So we're putting it together.
I'll start to put it together.
So I'd be interested, Don, Tanya, Bill, Barbara, any other thoughts on this?
I think it's been well said.
Are we close enough at this point, Bob and Woody, to be able to agree that that's the approach, or put that motion on the table, and then turn it back to the subcommittee and say, can you develop a brief document describing the kinds of issues that ought to be considered in a revision of an algorithm? Again, I know I'm not suggesting we express a preference on the kinds of issues, because I agree. I also don't know what it ought to look like, but I think we've heard a number of considerations. The issue of addressing some of the longstanding, the so-called proffer equivalency that has been maintained over all these years. Some of these various issues that we brought up, it almost seems like if we enumerated them, not ranking them or not saying here's what you do with them, but saying that if this process was pursued, here are the kinds of issues we've heard that we think need to be addressed in redoing this algorithm. Could we do that?
I don't know.
It's hard that you're sort of asking us to prepare a job description of what we're supposed to be doing. But I don't think we have enough background knowledge to be able to do that in a meaningful way. We've still got some investigation and learn a pretty high learning curve before I think we're ready to say, this is what we can and should do. I think we can be ready to do that in a couple of weeks.
I don't know. I mean, you know, the root of the problem is, as it is with everything that deals with this combined system, is that you've got now 16 different situations, 16 different companies, some fire, some rescue, you know, and everyone is different. Everyone's got their history. They all have different histories in terms of how they were affected, benefited, or otherwise by the whole proffer system how it went away. And they've got, in my opinion, a certain amount of, jealousies is not the right word, but you hear, you know, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. You hear these comments. And, trying to do something that is fair for Leesburg or Purcellville or Ashburn versus the smaller companies,
I'm not suggesting that. So what I'm suggesting is, and what I'm hoping we can do, is put about a one-month timeline together here so that we can complete this effort. I'll say on the long-term issue by this meeting a month from now. So what I'm suggesting is, if we can agree that we're going to be limited to a recommendation that speaks to process, the process being ask the county administrator to take the lead on this, much as the board has asked him to do on reformulation of the commission itself, then in that letter simply identify, literally bullet point type of identifying the kinds of issues that we have heard about. Not that we have an opinion on them or a resolution on them, and the proper issue is one of them. That's one of the issues that come up. But I think what you guys are saying is you continue to do research on this. I suspect we continue to do research on this for months. So I'm just not sure we're going to come to a conclusion here. So I think rather than trying to come to a conclusion on any of these, proper system, good or bad, it's not a proper system, perpetuation, that good or bad, simply to identify the questions that have come up as that we would urge be considered in any group that Mr. Hemstreet put together.
We'll take a cut at that, Mr. Chairman, if you want us to write something like that up. I mean, I think it'll end up being a laundry list of issues. I mean, John Sandy and Doug Rambo have literally been working on this for years without any satisfactory result. The last effort that they spent 18 months on kind of ground to a halt, which is why we've had the 121,543 number since 2006, in large part. But we're going to write a letter to the chief soliciting their ideas of what to do about this thing.
On the narrow issue.
Woody and I will put together something that attempts to enumerate some of the factors that we've encountered, if that's, for consideration at the next full meeting.
Bob, you just said a letter to the chiefs.
To the presidents.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the other item. That's the 500 plus 200. Right? I think that's an easier item to get our hands around. And then if I could ask you to consider, if it's agreeable to everyone here, that the subcommittee to come back with, I'll say it, a sort of a draft letter or draft, also a brief memo proposing a process by which the county take a look at the so-called algorithm. Yeah, and maybe flagging a couple of the issues that should be considered.
Just to follow up on what you just said, Tanya, I mean, we were thinking of this as an open letter to the chiefs and presidents of the... I mean, we're going to be going to a meeting of the presidents, so we can give it, but I think it would go to the chiefs and the presidents, and they can decide who within their organizations looks at it, responds to it, or give their thoughts.
Not mean to be
too much of a nitpicker, okay.
But I think the motion that we passed on February 7 in Subcommittee 2 said that the letter that they respond back to us would need to be signed by the presidents of the companies.
Okay.
That was suggested to us, I think, even by a couple of companies, that so we don't have divergent views, or we're
right.
Pretty sure that one. And I'd be curious, is that
okay.
Is that
I
your mind?
I absolutely agree with it.
Okay.
We as presidents are in charge of the companies.
Okay.
The chiefs report to us. Certainly in Leesburg, I will discuss this with my chief and my board as well.
I think the issue that came up was that there is a turnover of presidents along the way. And if there was a commitment made, we wanted to make sure it was committed to by the president of the company. And that's what I had written down in the passing motion.
Duly noted.
Thank you.
So if we could summarize and actually put a motion on the table and separate it out on the issue, the next steps forward is ask Bob and Woody to take the lead of drafting a letter to the company presidents, asking them to opine on the distribution of this potentially new money, if approved by the board, as well as the balance of the Nearsville escrow money. And we're suggesting three approaches in there. One, some form of a need assessment. I guess, you know, I'll leave it to you guys to write that up in terms of an IRS Form 990 or some other, whatever the appropriate language is there. Equal shares, and then an open-ended other ideas. We'll treat that as input back to this commission then to help us make a recommendation, presumably next month. Let me stop there then. And that letter would be hand-carried as well as distributed. I'd like to see it as well distributed, hard copy or email, as the case may be, email to all the presidents as well, just to ensure that nobody was missed. So if I may suggest that as a motion, Mr. Gordon, would that be satisfactory?
That's satisfactory. Okay. So moved.
Is there a second? Barbara, any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. And then the second piece of it is to ask a subcommittee to continue to work on the challenging issue of this so-called algorithm, and to suggest that subcommittee to develop again a brief memo for discussion next month, suggesting a process for how it should be addressed, similar to the way the GRC recommended that the commission itself be reviewed. That is that the county administrator, actually it wasn't really a commission, that said, it was the board of supervisors, that the county administrator take the lead in putting a group together with input from all stakeholders. So that's really, I'm not so much a motion, other than if subcommittee two is agreeable to that, I would ask you to try to work on that so we can, again, have that one ready next month for action.
And that memo is to include 40,000-foot view of what the issues are that we've identified
just,
so far.
Just naming the issues, naming the kind of issues without offering opinions on them necessarily or expressing preferences as to approach.
Got it. Is that a motion?
When we do that as a motion, we can do that as a motion too.
Okay, I'll make that motion.
Okay. Thank you, Warren. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Excellent. Okay. We do have, I do want to ask, we have Leesburg represented here. I do want to ask, we had a lot of folks represented at the last meeting, so I'm just going to interrupt for 1 second. Any comments on what we just discussed here? I'm just curious, from an outside and very interested party outsider here, Dick, thoughts on this?
No, I think it's consistent with the last subcommittee two meeting commentary that I heard, and I think it's the fair way to ask all the representatives for their input. So, from the perspective of the first motion, I agree. Perspective of the second motion as well.
Process
to
it as requested. And
we talked about 6 weeks. Is that adequate?
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll be discussing it starting in about 15 minutes. Good. Okay. Excellent. Any other discussion on fire and rescue, or shall we move on? Let's move on. Okay. We'll discuss the Inspector General item. Bill?
Thank you. Appreciate Julie sending this list to Barbara and me. Barbara and I spoke this morning about the list of the different people to talk with in the county, and I'll hand it over to Barbara in just a minute about her conversation with Roger Zern. Since we spoke, I've followed up with several of the county members. I've called everybody on the list, with the exception of Terry Laycock, who I understand will be out on medical leave for the next 3 weeks. I've got meetings set up with Linda Neary tomorrow morning at 10:30, Jack Roberts in, and then on Thursday, Julie Pastor, and then Bob Wirtz at noon. And I told them what I wanted to talk about there. Inspector General, and I told him I'd like to focus on four questions. How familiar are you with the role of the former County Inspector General that existed between 92 to 97? In what capacity are you familiar with the roles with the roles, duty, and expectations of the position? Do you think the function was an effective, it was effective in our government structure, why or why not? And what could have changed, if anything, to make it more effective government structure? In a few conversations I had briefly on the phone with him to set up these meetings, two of them, I don't remember exactly who said what, but I want to make sure this is not a political tool or a political weapon or any used politically. And neither do I. You know, as a citizen, I don't want to see any of that kind of stuff. So if we can do this and it makes sense, we'll get in more into it, but we've got to keep politics out of something like this.
Has anyone you've spoken with at this point offered a thought as to who the Inspector General reports to?
No, but let me hand it over to Barbara.
I had a very informal discussion with Mr. Zirn, and he would like to, two things. He would like a chance to give formal thought to it, after which he said he would be happy to come and address this body and answer questions. He said he didn't really want to come in and make a presentation, but he would be more than happy to make himself available as a resource. And when I spoke with him, I asked him about, you know, when it was, how it was, what was his opinion on it. And Roger felt that he did not feel it was necessarily as effective as it could have been, primarily because he felt the duties as advertised were really not clearly defined. He said it was, the position was created, it was placed into the budget, it was advertised, someone was hired. There was not a lot of direct supervision of the position, and the duties were not clearly defined, so there weren't set work products, set things to produce. There was a hotline, it was publicized, it did not get a lot of business. I mentioned to him some of the things that were raised in our last meeting about perhaps appointing by the circuit court, who does it answer to, etc. And he suggested looking at the various duties of the different elected and appointed officials in the county. And one thing I found in digging into that further is that two things that might be of great interest to us. The treasurer might be a good place to start. I think that would be a good issue to question Mr. Zirn on, as to whether the fact that he has a fiduciary duty to the electorate in his position, his office might be a place to look at for that. And one very nice thing in looking at the parameters of his office after speaking with him, the treasurer's office already has the ability to audit any county department, including the public schools. So, because one of the things I asked him, a concern was raised, how do we look at everything? And we have been wanting to look at schools. And he said, well, you know, go look up this, go look at that. He mentioned that some areas we might want to look at would be proffer audits. He also said we might want to look at the 500 plus home loans that the county got into as part of an affordable housing program right before the housing crash. He said someone, you know, if we were starting to look at duties, it should be clearly defined from the outset what the requirements for applying for the position might be. An expert in internal auditing would probably be a must. Clearly define the duties and clearly define who oversees them and who they report to, so that politics can be kept out of it. Because one thing he also said, the position as it existed before was so poorly defined, had so little direction, that eventually people apparently did realize it could be used for political purposes. And that began to happen, and that's when it was phased out. So, I would suggest we dig into this a little further, come up with some further questions about what we could do with this, and ask Mr. Zern if he would like to come in and tell us whether or not we're on the right track. And that's my report.
We certainly could do that at the next either subcommittee meeting or full committee meeting. Yes, sir.
Certainly, this is all following up precisely on what we agreed to do after our last subcommittee meeting. You recall we spent an hour and 45 minutes on fire and rescue and about 20 minutes on IG. And so the idea that it needs to be studied further, I'm totally okay with. I guess, in my mind, some questions to talk, particularly perhaps with Mr. Roberts tomorrow, is I know he's quite skeptical about whether or not this is something that could be placed in the purview, as I mentioned to you on the phone today, Bill, of the county treasurer. The treasurer is a constitutional officer. His rights and duties are defined by his constitutional role, and Jack is not necessarily, I mean, we've just been yakking about it, but he's not necessarily persuaded that the treasurer's powers extend to overseeing someone who is auditing county government people who are not within the treasurer's office. And I think it would be helpful to talk with Mr. Roberts about whether or not an IG works given the basic structure of county, our county government. I mean, we have a structure where the Board of Supervisors is basically completely in control of everything. We don't have, as many jurisdictions do, an elected county executive and an elected council like they have in Montgomery County. And, you know, you can see that in that type of a structure, one of the roles the IG might have is to, you know, each side wants you to keep an eye on the other. Now, of course, we had an inspector general before, so you can't really say that the structure of our government, local government here, precludes us from having an inspector general. But if the Board of Supervisors, pursuant to that statute that I circulated a couple weeks ago that Jack provided, the Board of Supervisors can audit the school board at any time. They can appoint people to audit the school board at any time. And I believe, this I got from Mr. Hemstreet, that in the last year or two since Tim arrived, there have been enhancements to the budget to give the board the ability to have, you know, an internal audit function. So I guess all of this makes me wonder, given the risk that it could be politically abused and given our experience last time around, I think we need to be really, really certain that it's something that's positive before we want to recommend it.
I can't disagree with that either. I would say that, you know, I have enormous respect for Mr. Hemstreet and his team, but I would expect, as with Mr. Roberts, that anybody within the current hierarchy, the current leadership of government, I'd be frankly shocked if anybody would propose an IG, because the presumption should be that everything's working fine without an IG. So I think we need to, one would take the position that this is not necessarily a situation where things are broken. The question is, what could an IG do to enhance what we have today? And frankly, the thing that tickles me, and when I talk to either members of the board or others about this, the singular issue is being able to get at the school's issues too. If you can't get at the school's issues, why should we even do this? But if we can get at, if this is another mechanism to audit, review, whatever words are appropriate here, schools as well as general government, then there may be a case for doing so. And then secondly, if you can do that, question arises to depoliticize it to the greatest extent possible, who appoints the IG and who does the IG report to?
And how are their missions determined?
Right. And who determines the mission, right? Well, you may have a mission that's agreed upon, presumably there's an action by the Board of Supervisors initially, but subsequent to that, you know, who decides this? So a lot of questions still to ask here, a lot of ground still to cover. You've got two meetings tomorrow, and you've got another meeting on Thursday. Have we met with, have our folks met with you yet, Tim, directly on this?
We've talked with Bob.
Yeah. Well, we talked on the phone about
okay.
it.
Okay. Briefly.
In a lot of detail. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the comments I have, like I said, came from Tim and Jack.
Are there others we should be talking to, the folks that we need here, others weigh in, neither very, have a point of view on this, I'll say.
Well, I think this is it for the county staff, because for one thing, you have to have been around quite a while to have had experience with this, and second of all, you've to have been somewhat of a position to have been somewhat involved in it. So even if somebody's been with the county for 30 years, maybe they were so low level that they had no involvement with it whatsoever. So I think it's a pretty darn good list that Julie gave us. I think it'd be interesting to talk to the Montgomery County Inspector General. Tony said she'd give this person.
Yeah, how would you do that?
I wonder if we should talk to Mr. Mays.
I called Ben. Haven't heard back from him.
I guess not all the budget's going on.
That's true.
Is there anything analogous in Virginia where we don't have Montgomery has the county executive elected, the county council elected. Is there anything in Virginia, would you know, Tim, analogous to our form of government whereby you don't have two different power centers, elected power centers, where they have either tried or currently have an IG?
I'm not aware of anything in Virginia with a traditional form. Me, it's a structural issue. When I hear IG, to me that means internal audit. I mean, that's how it gets translated to me, and the board just started an internal audit function, so I believe very strongly that's an appropriate function. Just the issue when you hear IG is who directs that. I mean, typically, structurally, the IG is a creature of the legislative body that is there because when you have an elected executive, they control all the information. And so typically you have that function to keep track of what the executive is doing.
But is there, are you aware of today, is there any means by which the Board of Supervisors as the ultimate elected body here could have a greater say in LCPS or greater opportunity to review what happens at LCPS?
Yes, the board in the FY13 budget created an internal audit function. They're in the process of hiring an internal audit company. And so they'll be on board in the next couple months. And so they have the right, which is the statute that I think Mr. Gordon got from Mr. Roberts and was distributed. They have the right via that statute to tell their internal audit firm to audit any organization they provide money to, including the schools.
And this LCPS could not raise statutory reason why they can't be audited or other sorts of things that we've seen from superintendent.
My understanding from reading the statute as well as the extended conversations with Mr. Roberts is there's no reason why the board couldn't today ask for an audit on any, which is, I think, this consistent with what Mr. Zern commented to Ms. Muncy about. So they have that ability to do that today. Well, they have the authority to do it today, and they will have the ability to do that in the next month or two when they bring the internal audit firm on board. And the job of the internal auditor is almost the same as the inspector general. It's almost the same function.
So your one concern I'm hearing is you have concern redundancy. Kind of doing a lot of this already. What would, we're starting to do it in a more formalized way, what would an inspector general add?
Correct. One of the things that I felt was a weakness of this organization when I got here is we did not have a formal internal audit function that reports to the board, that the board can say, go and look at anything that we're doing. That, and it's important that it reports to the board. Now, we do have input into managing that contract because somebody needs to do that. But it's a weakness that we've had. We're large enough that we should have an internal audit function where somebody other than staff is looking at whether or not we're following procedures properly, whether we're spending money properly, you know, and all of those things. And the areas Mr. Zerd identified are areas that need to be looked at from an internal audit perspective, absolutely. It's just, to me, the term inspector general means something very specific, which is a part of a specific type of governmental structure. I mean, it's a form of government issue. I mean, it's not the function. The function is necessary. It's needed. I mean, so, and that was my comment to Mr. Martin, which is why you don't see it in traditional form.
In your exploration of inspector generals in other jurisdictions, anybody at the table, does an inspector general, are there instances where an inspector general looks at more than fiscal issues? As an example, could an inspector general, had one been here, be the one looking at issues regarding conduct by members of the Board of Supervisors or other such things?
Let's look at the historical. I think it was Bill who provided this like 50-page law review article that I know all of us read carefully. Certainly I did.
I memorized it.
But, you know, it was basically that inspector generals used to be generals in the military, starting about the time of the Revolutionary War, to audit contracts and look for fraud. And definitely their role was not confined to counting beans. I mean, they could look at operational issues of every kind that might be within their purview, might come to their attention or be recommended.
That's just internal audit.
Right.
I want to make sure that's...
All of that you're saying is within the scope of what you would call an internal audit. That
Absolutely.
The audit could cover not just, you know, do the dollars and cents add up, but are we following legal procedures and is there waste, fraud, and abuse type of
thing?
The federal government set up inspector generals under an act in 1968, Inspector General Act, that's been revised a couple of times to set up inspector generals within many of the government agencies. And I think there it was, you know, I mean, I think Congress can direct the inspector general to look into things as they see fit, but the inspector general is also within those organizations fairly freewheeling in terms of what they can investigate. And it's not just dollars and cents, it's our contracting procedures being followed and that type of thing. And that has, the article said, morphed down in the direction of municipal governments. And this is where, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know that the establishment of a, I don't believe that the establishment of an inspector general is precluded by our form of government. The question is more, does it make sense in our form of government? It certainly didn't work out good last time, but that may have been for a variety of reasons that could be addressed by proper structure.
And so, I could add to that. You know, in all these websites I've looked at, from all these different counties and states, Bob mentioned the three words, waste, fraud, and abuse. Those are pretty much consistent in every one of these. And then a fourth word is often mentioned is corruption. And then another word is often watchdog. So I think that an inspector general is a little more than internal audits. It's, I'm not sure exactly what an internal audit would do, but it seems to me this is a little more of a watchdog. Do we need it? I don't know. Maybe we do. I mean, if we know situations where there's waste and the average Joe on the street sees it, maybe it's an opportunity for him to say, you know, I don't think this is right for my tax dollars to be spent this way.
Sure. I would hate to see us recommend that something that ultimately ended up completely or nearly completely redundant of what's already being done and begin what she has to do. It seemed to me there's just not enough there. I'd be very interested whether this function or a separate inspector general, there would be the reach to get at the schools. I think that's a strong case to be made. So even if we fell short of recommending a full inspector general, if we assessed as well the current function that's being developed within the county, it strikes me we ought to opine on that as well, because the Board of Supervisors may ultimately decide not the way to go, and this is not the inspector general, but instead to strengthen this reasonably newly created function within county government. I would also agree with you, Bill, that if it's solely defined in fiscal terms, I think we're missing something. I'm not suggesting there are any issues with the Board of Supervisors today or any other county agency and stuff, but I've been around long enough, some of us have been around long enough in this room to know there have been issues, questions, questionable conduct, questionable behavior by public officials in this county. And the question arises, you know, is there a vehicle other than referring something to the Commonwealth Attorney, is there a vehicle by which some of that can be, say, investigated, other than the governing body itself, which ultimately gets exceedingly politicized. And maybe that is the vehicle, maybe what effect that has been the vehicle. But is that a little too almost incestuous doing it that way? Is there a role there one can imagine for an inspector general function? I'll call it a good government function. That's attractive to me, other than beyond the fiscal elements of it. Because I do sense that there's going to be an awful lot of overlap with redundancy with what's currently being done within the county, which I think is great, by the way. I think what we're doing here is great with the internal audit.
Right. When a guy on the street who deals with the government has an issue, I think a lot of times he may feel that, well, if I call, it's like, what's the old saying, that Fox watches Hen House or something? I mean, do you really feel like something is being taken care of? Just a little, I don't know if you guys all read last week about the Smithsonian Institution, how the parking lot attendants at the Air and Space Museum, they've been unplugging the counters and pocketing the cash, and they had to tell all the parking lot attendants, so one guy who didn't know about it would forget to unplug the counter, and then he'd get 1,000 more vehicles in his 8-hour shift. So they were all in on it. And somebody, one of them got mad at another one and turned somebody in, and then it all exploded, and they're all, but, I mean, this one guy raked in $900,000. Just by unplugging the traffic.
And beauty and pornography and waste, fraud, and abuse are to some extent in the eye of the beholder. You know, but I'm not saying that that there is zero corruption in Loudoun County, but that's true. I mean, but Don Walker and I might have different views about what constitutes government waste. I expect we do, okay? But I mean, I don't have the feeling that, you know, this is not Chicago or New Jersey in terms of government corruption.
Right.
You know, in 25 years doing business with the county, I've never been shaken down.
Right.
You know? I don't know. You know, to the extent that waste, fraud, and abuse is the motivation, certainly, if someone has an opportunity to send an email or write a letter saying, I think that such and such seems wasteful or something there's wrong here, that should be investigated. That would be a good thing, but those people can go to their supervisor at the present time and make that known. And I think back to when we had the Scott York versus Dale Myers wars that went on for about a decade. If there was an opportunity for either of those people to turn on Inspector General on the other one, they would have done it repeatedly to each other, you know, the entire 10 years.
Yes.
And so that's, you know, it's good to say, yeah, we should have somebody perhaps, because when things get recommended to the Commonwealth Attorney, who happens right now to be a Republican, Jim Plowman, then everybody's going, well, he's not objective, you know, he should be objective, we should get somebody else, which sometimes is done, but I don't know, I just, before we recommend it, I want to make sure I really have a good feeling that it's a positive step.
Don?
I feel this is another issue of perception, and we've dealt with that on a number of things, such as combining the assessor, and so we're moving the assessor's office. And I think this is something that's here again, perception. We can't put our finger on something that's wrong, but we also can't say the public doesn't think something is going on that's wrong, and I think that it's another issue of perception, and maybe we should have that option under consideration for the public to have a means of to go to that is not necessarily smelling totally of politics. The old statement, I'd like to help you, son, but you're too young to vote. So you go to your supervisor, but you know there's a political situation there going on with that. It seems to me, you know, we need to, as we started this conversation, keeping politics out of the inspector general, how do you do it? That could be, you know, the $6 million question or something, how to do that, but with a valiant attempt to keep it out of there and give the public an opportunity to vent itself. I had a citizen approach me about one of our parking lots that's full of new cars that aren't moving. You know, and I'd say, hey, well, you know, the commission hasn't addressed any issue like this. You know, it's not something I can really do anything about at this point or whatever, but they're looking for an avenue to say, well, where's the answer to this?
You mean filled with county government cars?
Yeah.
Where's the parking lot?
Well, I was at the...
I'd like to know.
I was at the at a dealership one day and watched a car come in. It didn't go 100 miles last year, you know, between inspections. And that's the kind of thing citizens are saying, hey, what do we need that for? You know, that's something else we don't need. We just happen to have it, so now we're just going to keep it. But it's a perception issue to me. And
Weeding out, I mean, part of the reason I asked that is we're weeding out the fleet. I mean, we, between 2009 and 2011 or 12, we reduced some 200 positions, and so a lot of those positions had cars, so we had excess vehicles. So that's part of it. And so now,
well, I'm not bringing that up. I'm strictly using as an example.
We do take that seriously. So if there is that suspicion out there, I want to address it. I mean, we aggressively.
Sounds to me like they should be addressing it with you instead of their supervisor.
Or both. Well, they do. I mean, they do it both. I mean,
well, there again, that was just an example, not a target in some capacity, but. It's a perception thing. The citizen needs a place to go.
We've been taken away underutilized cars, so if there's underutilized cars out there, we'll go after them.
Okay. Well, a citizen needs a place to go where they feel there is a neutral and detached position that doesn't owe his soul to anybody in order to go investigate something.
Tax assessor situation could have been an issue that went to the IG, for example. The Middleburg Fire Station, $500,000 missing. Could have been a situation that went to the IG. The drunken joyride in Hamilton, the fire truck, could have been a situation that went to the IG. And a supervisor's staff doing political fundraising is something that could have gone to the IG.
Those that involve law enforcement would not have gone to the IG. Those would have gone to law enforcement. Middleburg, we're doing internal audit. We're doing an audit on it now. So I'm not sure. All of them could have been eventually referred to the IG, but anything involving law enforcement is going to go to law enforcement first. It's not going to get referred to, even if there is an inspector general. It's not. That person needs to turn it up to law enforcement. I mean, so those things, drunk driving, you know, those things have got to go to law enforcement first. It's run its course. The issue with the IG investigating elected officials, that's something the elected officials have to agree to.
Yeah, they would have to set it up as part of the guy's job description and know that it might come back on one or more of them. We'll see, it's like the EDA, you know. Did they want to give up that control? But I think the bottom line is we're in the process of studying it. It's worth, you know, it's worthy of further study and thought, and it's been a good exchange.
Hopefully we'll have enough intellect gathered within our subcommittee before our next subcommittee meeting where we can go forward and make a recommendation or not, or decide not to.
I think if we're going to try to stay on course and complete our work, who's saying that may latest June time frame. I would hope that it's one of the reasons I wanted to frame these fire and rescue issues. I'm really hoping we can finish fire and rescue in the next one meeting, two meetings. One meeting for part one, two meetings, or one to two meetings. Inspector General is a longer term issue. We're not bringing back anything that's intended to be actionable for this budget cycle, because I don't think so. Because I think that's new monies. so I feel like that's something we should consider continue studying it. If you believe that Mr. Zern and anyone else should be asked to come, I mean, I'm perfectly happy with each of you having the meetings. We're involved in this, having the meetings. Bill, you take the lead on it with individuals. If you believe there's a case to be made for, and we've done this in the past with certain individuals, one or more members of county government coming in and speaking to the commission, I think that's fine.
Or to our
I think it's good for us, for the whole commission, to hear these things. So we could certainly tee that up. Maybe for the main commission meeting in March. It strikes me that you're going to have a busy subcommittee two meeting next month. Just I'm trying to get through all the fire rescue stuff. Would that be your call?
Sure, that'd be fun. I'll approach that at least the next couple meetings, the next couple of days.
Good.
I was hoping we could all go. We'll be limited to two, though.
Right. If you have someone else, we'll be. If you want to go to the ones on Thursday, feel free.
A lot of family obligations right now, so I hesitate to commit to a lot of them.
That's fine.
But I would be more than happy to fill in around what doesn't work for you.
And I just realized I have to actually take my mom to a cardiac appointment tomorrow at 10:30. I thought it was Thursday. It's tomorrow, so I will not be able to do tomorrow.
Okay, Tanya's going to go with me
on Thursday.
If anybody would like to join me tomorrow morning, 10:30 with Linda Neary and in with Jack Roberts, you're welcome to.
I might be able to do noon with Jack.
Okay, great.
That'd be very good.
That'd be good.
Good.
Okay.
Excellent.
I think that finishes up our subcommittee two agenda items.
Just before we jump off of subcommittee two, there is, as I understand it, going to be an action tomorrow by the board, final action on the EDA proposal.
Yes.
It's on you. Maybe describe. I haven't looked at the action item.
The item is the same as what went to the ED committee.
Okay.
With the only thing that's been added to it is a summary of what the ED committee did. And then it's a little bit different at the board level. So because it came out of committee, the item will be Supervisor Paterno will take the lead on the item, and then he'll put on the floor whenever he wants to put on the floor. And then board and go from there. So it's very different. I'm not making a presentation or anything of that nature. It's the Supervisor Paterno will handle the item. And then
I hadn't seen the item, but I did speak with Supervisor Paterno about a week ago about this subsequent to the committee action. And one of the things I suggested to him as well as to Chairman York is that I did not see anything in the action by the committee that addressed the EDC. It was sort of left out there, and that indeed was one of the problems we had with the whole structure. You had DED, IDA, and EDC, and nothing was addressed regarding what you do with the EDC. And then it struck me that at the very least, this proposal going forward ought to talk about enhanced roles of the IDA, now EDA, and what you do with this EDC in the future. So I'm
just check the motion.
I'm hoping that this isn't simply that the so-called hybrid model where we renamed the IDA and we really haven't done anything else. Because
right.
I think even if one believes, as apparently the majority of the board do, that we shouldn't create an explicit EDA, there's still a lot of things that can be done here. Enhancing IDA's authority, and I think there's interest to members of the IDA, well now the renamed EDA, to see what else can we do within those powers. Number one, and number two, what do you do with this very large EDC out here? Who is it advising now? Is it still advising the board? Is it advising, should it be advising the EDA? What should it be doing? Is it too big?
Yeah, that's not in the motion. So
okay.
The motion is the same that came out of committee, which is to rename the EDA, rename the IDA to the EDA, and then to start to pursue that relationship.
Okay. Do you know, is that early on the agenda tomorrow?
It is item. It's item 9A. There's only 10 items on the agenda. The meeting's going to go quick.
Okay.
Don't let the words come out of your mouth.
No, exactly. But it should. There's nothing. There's no reason why the meeting should.
Can anybody be at that meeting? I have a 5 o'clock meeting at Lansdowne. I got a chair.
That starts at 4, right?
Starts at 4.
I can't be there.
Can't be
I got to be in Alexandria at 2 and Manassas Park at 6.
Okay.
So I can't come back here for that.
Okay.
I've got a Ross meeting until 5:30 at Dulles.
Okay.
you don't think it's still going to be going on at 6:30?
Scott,
well, public input's at 6.
So you think it'll be finished before then?
I'm not sure if he's back.
I think the meeting will go to 6:30.
Yeah, you can't do it.
It's going to go how it's going to go. I think we see where it's going.
Well, maybe I just suggest that if anybody has a chance to call your supervisor or the chair, please do so. Is Scott back?
Yes.
He's back.
Well, I understand he's coming back today.
Okay. All right, good.
I mean, we made our recommendation.
Yeah.
I think it was a good recommendation. The essence of the recommendation was whether or not the Board of Supervisors wants to give up control, mm-hmm. and they don't. You know, and I don't, I mean, it's not one of those things that's like, oh, we should fall on our sword about it. I think we made a good recommendation, and, you know, the board is going in a direction that I think really is to change the IDA to an EDA. What does that really mean? Not much, but maybe a step in the right direction.
Well, the next discussion that's going to come up will be over incentives.
Over what?
Business, or cash incentives for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the first opportunity to have that discussion, because cash incentives have to go through the IDA. So the question would be, does the board want to delegate any of that authority over incentives?
You know, Matt called me a few days after the vote, and it was a very good cordial conversation. He was concerned that, you know, we all think that they got it wrong and da 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 da. And I said, look, the issue got a fair hearing. I think we can all agree it got a fair hearing. The decision was made. While it might not have been the way I would have voted, the decision got made. It's clear the board has a strong desire to go in a particular direction. I said, just do this. Ensure that the IDA has every opportunity to figure out what its enhanced role may be.
Right.
Don't just rename it and feel like it sounds to me like this is happening. And then secondly, figure out what you want to do with the EDC. You got a whole lot of very involved businessmen and women who, by and large, don't feel like they're contributing a whole lot, or could be contributing more. So I'll put a couple of reminder calls in tomorrow on this issue. I just would like to see board members raise that issue at the board meeting, at least as part of the vote. Okay, good. Let's move on to Subcommittee 1, and we have neither of the co-chairs here tonight.
Is there anybody here from Subcommittee 1?
I don't think so.
Kind of disbanded.
Are you on the Subcommittee 1?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Don's on both.
Yeah. I'm waiting for some information to come in that I've requested, which I have not received yet, so I don't have anything to add.
So I want to also make note that David Mowbray is here with us tonight, who did speak to the Board of Supervisors about these kinds of issues. And David, in the back here, introduce yourself. We talked after the last board meeting, and he expressed interest in assisting the commission on the work on the fees for services issue, something he's personally very interested in. And I said that we'd be very, very happy to have any citizen who wants to help us work on this issue, because this is one we do want to work on very aggressively over the next couple of months here. With nobody here from the subcommittee, I don't think there's much we can do. Eileen, I don't know that this memo was actually circulated to the whole commission, this one. I know I got it from the chairman's office and you got it here, but
I'll double check. I thought it was.
Well, let me just, if I may, it's very brief, let me reread it. At the January 16 business meeting, the Board of Supervisors asked the Government Reform Commission to review and research fees charged for county programs and services. Please add this to the Commission's work plan. As we have since discussed, this review should not include those fees associated with land development processes, i.e. planning, zoning, and building and development. The Board looks forward to the results of your review. So
who's
that's
that from? Mr. York?
From Mr. York,
okay.
Yeah. So that's the charge, and clearly their explicit interest is in the schools. The schools program. I don't know that we want to directly open up the adult daycare program again. I think we should focus on the schools issue. That seems to be the issue. The question is, do we want to ask subcommittee one to look more look at other issues? I think in the interest of time and efficiency, I would hate for us to start investigating every single possible area of county government. I'd like us to try to identify areas where there appears to be some area of concern. and the school is one that's been raised. Supervisor Letourneau raised it. Other supervisors have raised it as well from the dais about possible, I'll say, unintended consequences of those subsidies. Tim, in your own mind, can you perhaps consider or suggest areas that we should maybe call out and perhaps ask our subcommittee to look at as well beyond school care issue, child care issue?
Well, I think anything that Parks and Rec charges fees for would be things that the committee should look at, as well as, you know, that's where the services, most of those fee for services that I think the board was talking about are located. So, you know, child care, right, because it's Parks and Rec and Community Services, so that would be any of those programs that are related to, because it's not just child care, it's also a number of other programs that go along with that. So, there may be some other programs, and we've asked staff to pull that together, so I think that's what we're in the process of doing now, is identifying everything that we think falls within the chairman's letter.
Okay, so you're going to provide that to us as a little bit of a...
Well, yes.
That would be great, because I think if you can help, I don't know, call it a roadmap, but at least give us something we can start with, start chewing on.
Yeah, because the big question we wanted was, did you want us to exclude the land development fees? Because
right.
Once we got... Because that's a huge chunk, but once we got out of that, it's more... It's mostly Parks and Rec stuff, but there are some other agencies that have some programs that we charge fees for.
And this is just subsidized fees, like CASA?
That's the question.
It is everything, right? The first dump is everything that we're charging fees on.
Everything.
Because the question that I, at least the way I understood the question was part of it, was also even things where we say we're collecting 100%, the concern was whether or not we're truly collecting 100%, because in some cases it's not fully loaded. It's 100% of salary and benefits, mm-hmm. but then we're not including overhead. And
mm-hmm. Parks and Recs, CASA, school programs, the landfill.
Mm-hmm. The landfill's in there.
What about, for example, Loudoun, the transit system, the buses? Are they fully supported by the ridership, or is the county paying part of that?
That stuff that'll be in there, to ask if you want to look at it. Well, yeah, transit, we do subsidize a portion of it. Yes, transit would be a part of that.
Mr. Chairman, what's our intent here? To get that master list of all these programs that the Treasury's for?
I think it's my personal view would be it's worth looking at the master list. However, in the interest of time, and if we intend to do anything constructive in the next few months,
Chair, we'll put that on the 30th.
Okay, great. Thank you. I don't think we can possibly go through all of that and start saying we want to take a look at fees for buses and fees for everything. It strikes me that the responsive core we're going to get from the Board of Supervisors is where we have services that compete in a subsidized manner with the private sector, with a competing private sector function, and or where we don't have a means test for the service, and it's a service that one might argue is or should be intended for folks of, I'll say, lesser means, whereby you have someone of means taking advantage of a subsidized rate or fee for something that either the private sector could to perform or should be available, at least on a first basis, to those of lesser means. It strikes me that that's what I'm hearing from members of the board. I don't think, maybe not everybody, but that's where I would look at those kind of issues, as opposed to just looking at everything, which I think is probably a year-long activity. I can't imagine it being a short-term activity. What does everybody else think? So I think we're going to have to narrow this.
I tend to agree that it could be an extremely large thing, but then again, it could be a very large return. So it could overwhelm us, you know, for as much as is out there to be looked at, but then it could be a huge return as well.
It could.
Because at this point, if we're looking to have an impact on the budget in terms of dollars, you know, know, right now we're not doing a whole lot on that.
No. School superintendent has something to do with that. But I hear you. I hear you. David, if I may ask you, you and I have chatted briefly in my email as well. Do you want to share your thoughts a little bit with the commission? I know you spoke before the board last month, and I thought you made some very lucid comments.
Yeah, so that's just an interest I have since I've been the Virginia Committee decades, which was about for about 5 years or so. So I think what really, I don't know if you remember my speech or whatever, just really got me torqued. I lived in Belmont, so I was a gated community and this, that, and the other. So I just give this little anecdote. So I see this, you know, Loudoun County part of aging bus from Groveland into my neighborhood and pick up an individual neighbor and so on. And so I started looking at this adult daycare center type situation, and I looked at the fees and a little bit of an analysis. And I'd also just experienced this with my folks who lived in a retirement, high-end retirement community for the last 10 years of their lives, and so I've seen, you know, how the cost of all these things are. And what I realized was that this individual who lives in my country club lives in a household, and every household in Belmont Country Club has to be a member of the country club, and every house has to pay dues to the country club. So we're subsidizing, and I don't know what that individual situation is, but I do know they live in a high-end house and a household that's in a country club, and we're subsidizing that person to go to the adult daycare. So I got a high notion over that, basically. I also took a little drive up to Luckett's, so just across from the elementary school there. There's a trailer park. And I mean, this is not a mobile home park. This is a trailer park, and I drove through it. And these aren't double-wide trailers, just single-wide trailers. Everybody's got a license plate, Virginia license plate. They're paying personal property taxes. And I'm saying, are you kidding me? Those people are paying taxes to this county to subsidize somebody who is in my gated country club to go and cabin service. And, you know, I just said, that's just not right. So I liked your idea. I mean, I'm not some libertarian things like this. We should help folks out who might really need that from a financial perspective. But we have these unintended consequences. The program was probably established years ago, maybe before Ashby Ponds was here, before Leisure Village was here, or Leisure World, and so on. And then it never got examined again. So the private sector could provide these services, and we're providing them in a highly subsidized, non-economical way, and also a very expensive way. So my calculation was that the cost, and I'd be interested in your perspective on this, Tim, was $197 per day per person. Well, you work that out into a monthly basis, and that's $4,000 or $5,000. The place where my folks live was a high-end, unsubsidized, Hilton-like facility. I mean, you can't get any higher end on it. And you were paying $4,000 for a couple. You know, so you see what I'm saying here? It just seemed like a real area that cried out for some review. So I said, let's get facts first, you know, figure out what's going on. The other thing is, that this really also got me torqued up, that we went from 13 headcount to 21, and we're only serving 75 people. I mean, what's with this program, for heaven's sakes? And I read the whole report. I think you guys did a great job in the report, and there's nothing in there that makes sense from a business perspective. Among other things, why don't we take those 21 FTEs, and why don't we just bid the whole thing out? We said, we'll keep the facilities. We've got three facilities there. Let's see private folks or private companies see if they would actually run it. I mean, that might be one fun thing to do. And there's a million things we could do, and I'm happy to investigate it and make a recommendation and so forth and so on. So now you've heard my sermon. That's end of sermon.
We
appreciate it. And I think there's dozens of programs, little ones here and there, that we could figure that out.
Well, I'm never going to turn down an interested citizen who wants to help the commission, particularly Subcommittee 1. I apologize that other than Don here, there's nobody else here from Subcommittee 1, but that is their charge now for the next few months. That is their singular issue, unless something moves on the school shared services issue. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I'm not going to hold my breath, neither you. So I think that's the focus, and again, I apologize we couldn't have a more robust discussion of that today, but we need to do that next month. What's the date of that meeting? Is it March 5? March is coming up.
Subcommittee, March 5th.
March 5th.
Yeah, I have it on my calendar. So is that here or at the same time?
That would be here. Okay. That would be.
Actually, it's in the 11th
room. It's in the other room.
Elaine, can I ask you the subcommittee 2 next meeting and the general commission meeting?
Thursday, March 7th, subcommittee 2, and Tuesday, March 19th, the commission meeting.
Thank you.
All at 6 p.m.
So our goal, if I can summarize, to have at least an initial discussion on fees for county services. Tim, do you think that document, that initial document, be ready for the subcommittee by March 1, so by March 5, rather, so that they can
That's
at least review?
I mean, do you know Julie was following up on that? So
I think she's going to follow up on this week.
Our intent is to have it now. It's going to be, I mean, it's everything that's not land use. So the committee, subcommittee will have to call through that to get to.
Okay. And for subcommittee two, you gentlemen are gonna go ahead and draft that letter up for circulation. And if I could just ask if you could just share it with, well, actually share it with Tanya as the subcommittee co-chair.
We have to have it ready
with
by
your
next
indulgence.
Monday.
With your indulgence,
you
I might read a rough draft just for sense or flavor of the day.
There you go.
This is a letter to the presidents of Loudoun County's Volunteer Fire and Rescue Companies. Dear sir or madam, as you may be aware, the Loudoun County Government Reform Commission has made a number of recommendations about the governance of the county's combined fire and rescue system. These recommendations are available online and have been reported in the press. Paragraph. Among these recommendations we made were to review the county's method and approach to allocation of funds for support of the various volunteer companies. The county has, since 2006, allocated a fixed amount of $121,000 to each of the companies. We recommended that this funding methodology be reviewed and updated as part of the review of the county's fire and rescue service plan. Paragraph. After our longer-term recommendations were made, we were asked by the Board of Supervisors and several of the serving companies to review the funding options for fiscal year 2014, i.e. the coming fiscal year. We've had several work sessions with input from Chief Brower, Chairman Rambo, and a number of representatives of the companies. Paragraph. We learned during this process that the county administrator has recommended an enhancement of approximately $500,000 for funding the various companies. This has not been allocated by the Board of Supervisors, but support is anticipated. In addition, it appears that approximately $200,000 in funds previously held in escrow will be available to reallocate among the companies at this time. In our meetings, we have come to appreciate the extreme complexity of this issue. We are consequently soliciting input from the companies. Possible approaches include: 1. Divide the funds equally among the various companies. This would appear to benefit the smaller companies. 2. Allocate the money in proportion to the operating shortfalls of the companies as reflected on their financial statements and IRS Form 990s for the past 1, 2, or 3 fiscal years. 3. Allocate on some other needs-based assessment based on projected current and future needs. 4. Some other approach that you might recommend. Paragraph. We are receptive to any suggestions you may have, and we request that you provide us with any recommendations you may make within 45 days of the date of this letter. We request that whatever your internal process may be, any recommendation you have be in writing and be signed by the president of your company. Sincerely yours.
Hey, the first time we talk about the board, you talk about allocate, and it should be appropriate.
Wait, no, go ahead. What'd you say?
First time you talked about the board allocating,
yeah.
I think it's appropriated.
Okay, appropriated.
Otherwise, I think that's correct.
Otherwise, we're in the
that's
general
excellent.
Direction.
That's a great letter. Just one question, going back to near the top of the letter, you mentioned the 121, if I remember, did you say that was the only allocation? We got to
tweak that. I mean, as we now know, it's not just the 121.
Yeah.
There's other allocations.
Read it,
it's historical.
121, as well as other monies. Or
we certainly started with our recommendations focusing on that. We now realize it's a lot more complicated than that. But with your permission, then we will, put this in paper, send it to John Sandy, other people, and see if we can punch it out here in the next 48 hours.
I think that captures it. Is everyone...
And we're asking for a response back signed by the president of the company in 6 weeks.
I said 6 weeks because I remember we talked about 30 days. No, I said 45 days, which would be
right.
About 6 weeks. Yeah. Because we talked about 30 days, and then it was decided that because of meeting cycles and so forth, that's a little short.
Mm-hmm.
that would put us in a position as a commission to make a decision, or at least have that input for a final decision, I'm going to say, at our April meeting.
I'll give it to my secretary.
So why don't actually go ahead and take a motion on that draft and that language, and which will be formalized, and then can you do that, Bob?
Make a motion?
If you wish. I was going to suggest, can you actually put that draft together and then get it?
Oh, yeah, no, I'll type it up in the morning.
Okay, excellent.
I'm not going back to my office tonight, okay. But I'll type it up in the morning.
You want to make a motion to that effect then? That we.
I make a motion that the Government Reform Commission authorize Woodrow and I and Tanya to finalize the letter to the presidents of the various volunteer companies to be set out within the next couple days and presented by Woodrow and I next Monday or Tuesday.
Monday.
Text says right to the commission. Good. Second?
Second.
Second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. And Robert Gordon gets the multitasking award of the evening. Very good.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Is there any other business before the commission this evening? Also, we have our next meetings on March 5th, 12th, and 19th. Correct,
March 7th and 19th.
Got it. Okay.
We're
good. No other business. Then I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
We are adjourned at 7:42. 7:42.